May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 585. Where must a sinner fly that feels himself undone? On what kind hand rely, eternal wrath to shun? Can wit or reason help him out and bring a lasting peace about? 585.
Thank you. let us read from the Word of God. In the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers there unto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said I, Lo, I come, to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected for ever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin wilfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth now no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of Christ. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may help us in prayer. O Lord, our God, thou knowest how we are gathered here, thou hast, we trust, appointed it. Oh, may we prove it is a divine appointment this night, by thy appearing in our midst, by thy coming here among us, Lord. O Lord, do come and presence thyself with us, as thou dost not with the world. Oh, we seek, Lord, to worship thee. Oh, we trust a goodly number of us have the real reason for worship. Thou hast worked in us and dealt with us. And, Lord, we are amazed at thy goodness, thy loving kindness to such poor, unworthy, wretched sinners as we've been made to feel we are. Oh, thou hast dealt with us, Lord. Oh, some of us can acknowledge it, how thou hast dealt with us in solemn ways, but in love and not in anger. And oh, we do seek tonight to worship the triune God in spirit and in truth. Oh, do hear the desires in the opening hymn, Lord. And those things so clearly stated, Lord, therein, and what we've read in thy blessed word. O Lord, do be the master of assembly here tonight. May the blessed Holy Spirit be much in evidence to work and to bless souls here tonight. Oh, we do look for thy appearing, Lord. We pray thou wilt come and deal with us each in mercy and suit thy blessing to each case. Thou knowest how much we have to come before thee with solemn confession, Oh, thou knowest how we've been so much feeling the need to today. But, oh Lord, thou knowest each one in this respect as to what they have in their heart and in exercise thou hast granted them to be in. Oh Lord, those that truly know the weighty burden of guilt upon their conscience, oh, may it be thy purpose tonight to show them, to seal to them, that their sins are all forgiven. Those wonderful things of thy wonderful truths we have read, Lord. Oh, and that we've sung of concerning thy wonderful way of salvation. Oh, Lord, this is all what we need. We need an interest in thy great salvation. And as we read, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats and anything according to the ceremonial law, as it was ordained of thee, O God, to the people to so practice and use, but not all the blood of bulls and goats and Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away the stain. But, oh, thy wonderful all-atoning sacrifice for the Church of God, oh, thy holy blood shed, thou didst pour it out, Lord. Oh, thou didst submit unto death, even the death of the cross. Thou didst so come as the Lamb of God. Oh, tonight, Lord, oh, may we see thee as the Lamb of God, oh, slain for us. Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross. Do come, Lord, and bless souls here tonight. This is our burden, Lord. And oh, we felt it, Lord, in the prayer before the service, because it's the burden of the dear deacons. We are sure it is, we know it is. Oh, it's the burden of thy people who are concerned for the blessing of souls and of thy servants, Lord. And we think of any of thy dear servants on the walls of Zion tonight. We know the friends are meeting in Braintree tonight, where we were last Lord's Day. Their dear friend, much esteemed dear friend, they're ministering there. We trust tonight among them. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt come among us here, and even to go to each assembly of thy people. Oh, Lord, oh, that thou would come. Oh, is it in some heart tonight they have so long been longing for thee to come? Thee to come to them and bless them. Oh, may the time of thy divine appointment appear. Oh, if it could please thee tonight. And now is there. We felt our dear friend and brother was earnestly praying for this. And Lord, that it may be so tonight, that some precious soul here tonight might be so blessed and set at gospel liberty. Lord, we pray for thy dear people. Oh, well, we think of them, we sing, Lord, and we know it's true. But oh, to know and be assured of it, in every state secure, kept by Jehovah's eye. Oh, they are safe, thy people. But we need revelation, we need the assurance of it. We need the application of the precious blood of Christ, the atonement, applied to us, put upon us, oh, that we might know the great favour that we have Christ's divine atonement upon us. Oh, to know that when the Lord who does stand between, in garments dyed in blood, tis thee instead of us is seen when we approach to God. And oh, Lord, like us we've heard it pleaded, that we may know that great favour made accepted in the Beloved. Oh, our mind goes back, you know, some time now to when we heard that wonderful word preached from thy dear servant. And, Lord, oh, we do pray. Oh, we might know it personally sealed to us. It might be so for souls here tonight. Oh, that thou who will come shall come, even tonight, Lord, to set at liberty some soul. Oh, thou knowest there are many other burdens, Lord. There are many other trials and the things, the troubles of our heart, indwelling sin, a great continuing trouble to us. Oh, the depravity of our wicked natural hearts. Oh, we do beg for help, for strength. Oh, for strength to fight, to run the race set before us. We think of the words, Lord, in the continuing verses of the chapters, Lord, in Hebrews, that great record of all those who died in faith. Oh, then that wonderful word of exhortation, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And, oh, Lord, as we think of the great cloud of witnesses, as in the word they have recorded, but too we have known, personally we have known witnesses. Lord, thou hast taken to thyself some recently, Lord, who were wonderful witnesses. Wonderful witnesses to what they had done in them and for them, and that they were to them such a kind and gracious God. Oh, they witnessed. Oh, the witness of submission to thy will, the witness of contentment we see in one and another by the grace of our God. Oh, Lord, we beg thee, grant us such like precious faith and like precious grace in exercise. Oh, that we may endure to the end, that we may live by faith. If the just shall live by faith. Oh, how wonderful that is, true it is. Oh, may we be in the secret of it. But oh, the solemn word that follows. If any man draw back. Oh, Lord, how solemn this is. Oh, what a solemn concern and consideration it should be to us. Oh, but to know that we're not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Oh, do come tonight, Lord, and help us as we would be led by thee alone into thy word. Oh, that thou wouldst give us every word to speak. Oh, that thou wouldst give us the words to speak, that thou hast appointed thy holy will to seal to thy people, to do them good. And Lord, as we pray that thou would do them good, we trust, we pray, Lord, with a single eye for this, that, Lord, it's in this way of thy doing thy people good, of thy working in them, of thy blessing them, that they will then render praise to thee. Oh, that they will get to thyself all the honour and glory due unto thee. But, dear Lord, oh, we would beg thee, we would fill our mouth with arguments in this way. Oh, if thou dost bless, thou must bless souls. Oh, that thou mightest get to thyself honour and glory. And is it not, Lord, in thy sovereign purposes, as thou hast chosen thy people, ere time began, formed them for thy praise? Oh, Lord, is it not thy holy sovereign purpose to have a people for thy praise? Oh, and Lord, how we know. Thou must prepare us. Thou must save us. Thou must prepare us for those songs of praises we must be brought to learn to sing on earth, to sing in glory forever. We'll sing more sweet, more loud then, and Christ shall be our song. Give the prospect, Lord, in the eye of faith. Grant that favour, Lord, the precious souls here. There may be some who are becoming weary with earth themselves and sin. Oh, Lord, how it is so. It does come to be so in thy people's pathways and lives. And as they draw near their journey's end, how we've witnessed this with some of our dear friends now in glory. As they draw near their journey's end, how precious is their heavenly friend. Lord, do so sanctify us here tonight with these true realities of thy grace. Favour us, Lord, so feel the power. Oh, may the word be in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Oh, that souls may live. Oh, that souls may feel that life and liveliness, that thou mightest so make thy people lively, lively in praise. Oh, Lord, oh, may we have such a dread worked in us by the Holy Spirit that we might not be in such a dread of going back. Lord, of all refusing, we think of a word, another word. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. Oh, if thou art speaking to us, and we've been refusing thee, how awfully solemn that is. Oh, Lord, we beg thee, so stir us up and show us. Oh, bring new conviction where it's needed, Lord. And solemnly make us know what we do need to know and experience, to know and feel and be favoured to know again thy love shed abroad in our hearts. That is those of us who have known it, and the dear friends who have not yet known thy love shed abroad in their heart. May they be in earnest exercise for it, to know and taste redeeming love. So, Lord, do work here among us tonight. Oh, we believe with some of us we can say our prayers are mutual in our need and in our desire and for thy honour and glory. Oh, Lord, may we feel the sacredness of mutual love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, that love which all defects supplies, makes great obstructions small. 'Tis prayer, 'tis praise, 'tis sacrifice, 'tis holiness, 'tis all. Oh, Lord, how we find it in our reading, as we sometimes feel led to it to read, though we've known, read it many times. The wonderful truth, charity never faileth. O Lord, but the greatest of those three, charity, faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these, charity. Oh, to know it, Lord, personally, to feel the holy power of thy love, and to love one another. Oh, to love the Lord with mind and heart, his people and his ways, envy and pride and lust depart, and all our works be praised. Do bring it here tonight so to be. I beg for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
524. The Gospel brings tidings, glad tidings indeed, to mourners in Zion who want to be freed from sin and from Satan and Mount Sinai's flame. Good news of salvation through Jesus the Lamb. 524.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the chapter that we read. That is the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 10. And the burden of one's heart is couched in the deep beneath, I believe, in the verses 35 to 37. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Especially for ye have, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. This, of course, doesn't mean the Lord's first coming is already come. He has come. John, in a wonderful way, he so gives such emphasis to this, where he, in his epistle, he says, and we know that the Son of God is come. We know that the Son of God is come and he's given us an understanding. He says that we may know him that is true and we are in him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Some here tonight may say, as we give utterance to that part of the word of John's words, what a favoured man John was, oh that I might know and feel the assurance that he felt. Oh, the point that I would make on those words we've just quoted is this: has he come to you and for you? Has he come for you and to you? Because it is those that are in exercise of real need that will be looking for his coming. Not, of course, his first coming, he has come. But, oh, to be looking for his coming to you. To you, for you to be favoured to know and be assured that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, did come to suffer, as he did suffer the just for the unjust, to bring his people to God. And what you need him to come to you for is to so seal to you, to assure you that he came for you, that he's come for you. He came to this earth to suffer, bleed and die in your ruin place instead. How we sing of him, our Lord. He took the dying traitor's place and suffered in his stead. For man, O miracle of grace, for man the Saviour bled. Every one of us need to be exercised. If we are seeking salvation, if we're being solemnly dealt with by God and made to feel and know that alarm of need, and if we're after salvation, if we, through the solemn teaching of the Spirit, have been made aware of our great sad and solemn state of condemnation under the law of God, that we are guilty, we're vile, we're undone, we're ruined in the fall. You need the Saviour. You need salvation when the Lord has made you feel that. And you need to know, you need to know, and you need to be told by God's own mouth that he has chosen you. You need to know and be assured. And what makes the emphasis of need more and more important to consider and to know and feel is that we're going on in life and we're going on toward eternity, toward the judgment day, because this word also includes he will come the second time to judge the world in righteousness. Oh, what you need. before you come and I come to that solemn day, that solemn hour, aeronautical of death, and after death the judgment, what you need, what I need is to know and be assured, feel assured, know the seal of the Spirit to assure us of our part in the Redeemer's blood. You've heard it sung, so have I. We've sung it many times. Oh, assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood. Do we really feel the need of it? Is it really in earnestness and truth and pleading with God, exercised by the Spirit to plead with God? Assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood. Let us consider how this will be made to be the most important matter of a person's concerns if they are one whom God has quickened into life, if they are born of the Spirit, if they are being taught by God, if God has a purpose of love and mercy to them. It will come to be so in their experience, in their exercises, that the most important matter of their whole lives is their soul salvation. Now let's put the point to us each here tonight. Is this the most important matter of your life, of your daily living? Is it the most important matter? The most important matter for your need, a spiritual need, of course it will be, because if God's first dealt with you to quicken you into spiritual life, you're a spiritual character. And if you're a spiritual character made so by God, there is that God must do in you. And there's that you must needs be brought to know your need of. God so works in these ways. He works in these ways, his sovereign will, his sovereign way of working in souls is, I would say, carefully for the most part, to in the way of convincing sinners of their sin and then leading them to the precious blood of Christ. The point here that is laying upon my heart is, are we exercised by the Spirit to be looking, watching, waiting for his coming to us, to do for us what we so much need, to seal in us and for us that we are found under his holy blood shed for us and applied to us by faith, applied to our hearts and consciences by faith. Oh, do you need him to come? To come and tell you by his own mouth that he has chosen you. Oh, what a word this is if we consider it in these ways. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and not tarry. Oh, is there a soul here? But you see, I'm aware of this, that with you, if you are really being so affected by the Holy Spirit in that powerful, solemn way the Lord works by his Spirit, oh, you're made to know your case is being urgent. Mine is indeed an urgent case, a pressing case. You need to know. You need to know and be assured of how you stand. And I'm aware of this, friends, that it may be so with some of you in the early first being brought into this need and to be seeking the Lord in this way. Let me also bring a solemn word of point two here, because, you know, in this 38th verse, there's this great, one of God's great statements. They're all great, but this is a wonderful, great statement of God, where he says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. we should consider that in various ways. And you will know personally how that what he stated there, if any man draw back, you will know and you will feel the guilt of it if you are guilty in it through whatever way of sinning. Sins of omission, maybe, or sins of commission. But you draw back. Draw back from his command. Draw back from what God's exhorted you to do. How he's called you. Draw back from following close following him. You know how sad it was with the disciples when they forsook him and fled. When they wandered, when even after the resurrection, Peter said, I go a fishing. The Lord had called them in that way, and he commanded them to follow him, and they'd followed him and been with him all that while, and then witnessed his great sacrifice of himself, his sufferings in Gethsemane and on the cross. And then after the resurrection, he revealed himself to them. And all were there, left to themselves. Peter left to himself, I go a fishing. I believe in those things, it says it were drawing back. Drawing back from that call of your Lord and Saviour, who says, follow me. He said to his disciples, follow me. He said to various characters, they were to follow him, see him going before them. I go before you into Galilee, there ye shall see me. How he spoke regarding how he would meet them after the resurrection. But oh, friends, how? Oh, you see, these characters. And really, in the context of these several verses, it is characters who are addressed, whom God loves. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, as God is directing the word to his people he loves. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, how do you feel about that? How do I? After you've done the will of God, how do you feel? How do we feel regarding that? Do you feel comfortable to read that and receive that? After you've done the will of God, well, that's what God requires us to do. He reveals his will. He shows us the way we must go. He's gone before as the forerunner. After you've done the will of God. Oh, these characters whom are addressed here. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. I can't help but my mind in exercise goes to dear beloved friends who we've witnessed in our beloved denomination, one and another, who really wonderfully showed such perseverance and endurance by, of course, the grace of God. And they had submission to God's will. As they come into their weaker days, think of our dear late friend, dear friend and sister here's dear father, never ever heard him complain. His conversation was so sacred, savoury. He was full of contentment by the grace of God and patience, humility. What a witness. And now are we, friends, My heart is so much often searched, questioning like that. How am I? What am I? Strange my paths, myself and paths appear. We should examine ourselves and consider. And what have we in the witness of our love to God, in self-denial and submission to God's will? Those two graces have been much on my mind today, submission and a thankfulness in the way of being content. Submission and contentment. What great gain it is. Godliness with contentment is great gain. How are you, friends, and how am I? Oh, how we should be concerned and considering. And as this word is, three verses here, for ye have need of patience. And after you've done the will of God, what is the will of God for us? What is, as we find in several places, this is the will of God concerning you, as God reveals, as he deals with us and reveals to us what he needs to explain and teach us to know and acknowledge and to bow to his sovereign will. After ye have done the will of God, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. After you've done the will of God, for ye have need of patience. Some may say, yes, I certainly do need patience. Do you confess before God, and do I, a lack of patience? I believe the way of God to bring us into the favour of he giving us patience, working it in us, it will make us feel our lack of it. And he will give us inquiry to him that we might be given the grace to enable us to be in patience. And if we are really being exercised like that, as the word says, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be entire and wanting nothing. Oh, how by the Spirit we would be so blessed and led, so that we are living in that way, with submission to God's will and patience and endurance and humility and that we might be content with such things as we have. He says, be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that thou mayest boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And you know, God requires us to boldly say, the Lord is my helper. If we are drawing back, we will not be acknowledging what we should be saying and acknowledging. That's the folly of our carnal nature. If we're left to our carnal heart, our carnal nature, which in a theme that much comes to my mind from time to time, the carnal heart, the human heart, it takes different ways and different objects it surveys, different objects from grace, and objects that are not for our good, the carnal mind, but oh, to be led of the Spirit, and to be under the influence of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit may be in exercise in us. You know, we understand it as God gives light, that it's in the new man of grace where the real exercise of the Spirit goes on. And oh, when that is so, then there's the subduing of the old nature. And wonderful if we can say, if we can feel the blessedness and the power of it, of God's reign in grace. And you desire for it, you say, reign o'er us as King. Accomplish thy will and powerfully bring us forth from all ill. Till falling before thee, we laud thy loved name, ascribing the glory to God and the Lamb. But coming to this point that is the very burden of my heart. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and not tarry. If you're a character who's feeling after the Lord, as I would carefully say for some of the younger friends perhaps, or it may be for older ones, because how solemn it is that some have been left to go on and on in their lives in a form of religion for so many, many years, and have never spoken, never been able to speak, never seem to have anything spiritual to give witness on. And what a terrible tragedy it is if such go on to the end of their days and are never wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, but lived a life, a careful life, an honest life, in an outward profession, in a way through attendance, but not in heart, not in real heartfelt experience. But oh, if any that have gone along many years like that, if there are any here that have been going on like that, oh, is it that God is coming to you now to stir you up, to make you solemnly realise that all those years of your life and profession, though it's not been a full profession, a profession in attendance, and all those years now, God's making you concerned. What do I know? What do I really know of the things of God, the things of grace? He's come. He's come to stir you up. He's come to deal with you in mercy. Oh, if he is now making you feel solemnly the seriousness of your state before God, he's come to deal with you in mercy. And is it that he, God in all his holy power, is so impressing upon you the seriousness now that you possess an ever-dying soul, and that there's a vast eternity before you, the judgment day before you? Is it that now, after so many, many years, is there a character here who has lived in a profession of religion, a nominal profession of religion, that is, there's not been any life in it, but now, by the wonderful grace of God, God is beginning to make you think? I would be careful, and I won't name a name, but I visited a dear aged man, and I can say I felt him to be a dear aged man. But that dear aged man had attended a means of grace in one of our causes and took the place and office of a deacon, though he was never baptised. And he was the main one of the cause, and in all the running of the cures, it was him involved singly for the most part. When it came to the last few days of his life, I visited him in hospital, and he said to me, "I've been reading the first two chapters in the book of Job, and I could detect that all those years of his outward profession didn't mean anything to him. What it was brought him, he was brought to this point of seriousness of concern now. How do I stand?" And I believe in those last few days of his life he was so deeply dealt with. But you know, all those years with yes, the things of necessary attendance to, but what spiritual favour was there? We're not the judge. But oh, is it that some or one or another here, all the years you've been coming to this house of God and heard so many sermons preached, but oh, has God come to you now? You're not to receive this word in a neglectful holding of it, If you do, that's very serious. But oh, if God so give you to see, now he's making you concern, making you feel solemnly that you question, what am I and where am I? And you know what you need now. You need to know the Saviour. You need to know and taste his love. You need to know he died for you. Is the Lord making you seriously consider this now, whereas you didn't all those years? The Lord knows. The Lord knows what he's leading me to speak in this way. We have not premeditated this, friends. It's as he pours it in, we pour it out. Well, if you're a character now, by his grace, who feels to know and to know your need of a Saviour, your need of Jesus Christ, this word is for you. For yet a little while. And what is it in God's sovereign will that he's going to teach you in this little while he names here? For yet a little while. There have been many in the different ways of God working, and their experiences have so been taught in this little while. Taught such a lot. Taught such vital things. As he says, for yet a little while. The duration of time that God perfectly knows of, he's perfectly appointed, in which he will deal with a character to make them really earnest in need of salvation. Yet a little while. Yet a little while under the law. For however long it is a little while compared to a never-ending eternity, which is not measured by time. But oh, a little while, a time in God's sovereign purpose, being under the law of God, condemned and brought in guilty by God, making you really know what you are and where you are as a condemned, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, which you perhaps brushed off for many years, heard it stated, but no, that's not me. I'm a good person. I'm a person who lives a careful life. I keep the Lord's day and I read the Bible. But when you were reading the Bible, was it that it was a closed book? You didn't really understand it. You've got no real attraction in it. But now, is it different? Yet a little while, and you must know these solemn things, this solemn teaching. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. If you've been raised to a hope, if the Lord has so brought you to know your need to pray and beg for mercy, beg for an interest in God's great salvation, and he has raised you to a measure, you may say a little measure of hope, he's going to do more. He's going to come. And you want him to come. You need him to come. You need the Son of God to come and reveal his love with power. You need him to come and shed abroad his love in your heart. You need him to come and speak to you. I love thee well, my child. Thou art mine. You need him to come to speak to you words of his wonderful grace and love. I have redeemed thee, I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine. This is what you need. Oh, what a wonderful. And also, friends, I'm aware, and it's laid in my heart as a burden to bring some of you that have had these favours. You need them renewed. You need it renewed to you. You need your Saviour to come. You need the dear Holy Spirit to increase your little faith so that you could lay hold of this word, my precious faith, for yet a little while. And he that shall come, notice it said shall come. This is in the sovereign will of God, sovereign appointment, divine appointment, that he must come, he will come. It's in the will of God. It's God's holy will, it's God's holy purposes, his purposes of love and mercy for each one, each soul, each individual one. And if it's for you and for me, for he that will, he that shall come, will come and will not tarry. I believe this with all my heart, that as we read in another place, there's a set time to favour Zion. There's a set time to, for God to favour each one of his people. A time he has set to heal up thy woes. A season most fit his love to disclose. Be patient and steady and wait on him still. He will come. A loving Saviour surely will relieve his praying poor. He's bound up in covenant transactions, bound up in the covenant of grace, the sovereign will of God, the sovereign mercy of God, the sovereign grace and favour of God appointed for these characters whom God set his love upon. When the Lord goes on to work in you, to give you, to begin to feel the blessed confidence of faith, lay hold of the hope in the gospel, you'll be so humbled and melted and broken of heart and broken. Yes, we're broken under the law, broken to pieces, broken down, painfully to feel the solemn condemnation of the law of God. But oh, that wonderful gospel breaking of heart when the dear Saviour speaks, seals his word to a soul, sinner, I have loved thee, I love thee well, my child, thou art mine, for yet a little while. Can you see this as God gives light and understanding? For yet a little while, whether it is in God's love and mercy as he deals with this soul to make them solemnly, painfully know the condemnation of the law of God, but that for the purpose, like Paul gives expression to it, a testimony of it, he says, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so yet a little while, and he that shall come. For as the word is so absolutely clear in the truth of the word of God, that if God convict and convince a sinner of their sin, he will lead them to the blood of Christ. He does not do a work in the child of God to leave them. He doesn't begin it to leave it half done or undone or not finished. The Lord, he'll finish the work. The work he has begun in me, a sinful worm, he'll finish it, he'll complete it. You will know the blessedness of it, the favour of it. He will come. I want to come to some sacred things of what will be revealed, what a sinner will feel and know, and what they'll view, how they'll view the Lord by faith. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. They'll bring it all with him, everything you need, pardon, love and blood. It will be food for dying souls. See your Saviour by faith, suffering in your place, in Gethsemane and at Calvary. Oh God, giving that vital grace of faith in some blessed measure so that you are unable to see your Saviour. See the Lord of glory dying. Oh, hear him praying. See him crying. Oh, the Son of God. He who came, the perfect one, lived a perfect life, separate from sinners. Oh, he came to lay down his life, to suffer, bleed and die. in his people's room, place and stand. He, for yet a little while, then he that shall come will come. And it's when he comes in that way by the Spirit's revealing to you, to show you. You think of how it was with Thomas, and it may be with you that you have much trouble through unbelief. Oh, your unbelief is such a trouble to you, such that you are not able to believe. But he that shall come will come. And he shows his people himself. He shows them his hands and his feet and his side. They see him by faith. He comes. This coming is revelation. Revelation of himself. Revelation of Christ to a soul who so greatly needs him. A soul who so greatly being brought and taught of the Spirit needs salvation. Needs to know and taste redeeming love. The soul has an appetite for the most holy, sacred favours of God's grace. The soul that is in exercise to partake of Christ, to feed upon him. Oh, he that shall come will come. Certain it is, friends, if you are convicted, convinced of your sin, you feel the burden of your sin and guilt. If the dear Spirit has come to you, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. He does that in his people so that they need him, they need Christ, they need the Saviour, they need forgiveness, they need pardon, they need to know and taste redeeming love. He that will come for yet a little while. And see, friends, if God help you to understand and me, for yet a little while, God's time. It'll come in his time, and that will be the right time. The right time is when he comes, when he appears, to deliver. He's got power to deliver, friends. Remember that he's got power to deliver a poor sinner from all the sin and guilt, the curse and the law that condemns him. He's got power to deliver. He's paid the price. He's suffered himself and paid the price and satisfied the justice of God on his people's behalf. Well, remember, a dear friend, dear Mr. Sayers, preaching on salvation by divine substitution. Oh, how wonderful is that theme. Salvation by divine substitution. You see your Saviour suffering in your room, place and stead. You see him as it's prophesied of him in Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. To see this, to believe it, to know it, to be assured of it. It was for me the Saviour blood, the Saviour died. The Saviour shed his blood for me. To know my Jesus crucified. You say it is great and more wonderful than anything beside. It excels all things beside. Oh, it does. Oh, he will come. He will come to these who need him. He that shall come, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Oh, will not tarry. God will never be behind his time. He will come at that appointed time. Everything that God does, he does, according to covenant transaction. All what is agreed in the Trinity, before the world was, God, performs his works, his cause concealed, and though his methods are unknown, judgment and truth support his throne. And all the wonderful mercies in Jesus. About led last Lord's Day to speak in the morning on the mercy of God. And all the wonderful mercy in Jesus that exempts us from hell. His wonders I see and his glories I'll tell. His free grace alone from the first to the last has won my affection and bound my soul fast. Our heart's desire and prayer is that many of God's people may be able to so give utterance to such words of testimony. How precious their Lord is, how wonderful he is to them, how they are brought to know his love and love him in return. Oh, and that we might not be left to be amongst these, so solemnly spoke of, if any man draw back, my soul shall not have pleasure, shall have no pleasure in him. You really, every one of us really ought to be examining ourselves regarding this. I mean, I think back to when I'd been blessed, so blessed and set at liberty. And that was in 1964. And I didn't follow the Lord in his ways until 1971. There were reasons, but I could not claim I was not guilty in drawing back. It doesn't say here God will cut off those that draw back. Some draw back. God doesn't, if they are his, he doesn't cut them off. He will never cast away those he's loved, but he will chastise them. They will have to suffer. He will be grieved over it. And it is a concern that we should be aware of and should be concerned to make clear in preaching, and also it should be a concern to every one of us to consider our state and how we are. Have we been drawing back? For here it's so solemnly stated, God speaking. You think of this, God speaking in this profound way, is very, the very soul of God. You think of the very soul of the Saviour. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. You know what your Saviour did at Calvary. He poured out his soul unto death in the ruined place instead of his people. He suffered in body, mind and soul. This is why it's so important that we should believe in the sacred humanity of Christ, that he came to this earth and walked this earth a real man, and to believe and know and be looking to him, praying, begging in his holy name before God our Heavenly Father, pleading the name of Jesus, that real man who in heaven now reigns, who suffered in our stead. How the hymn writer said, this same dear man in heaven near reigns, who suffered in our stead. Oh, if we're left sadly to ourselves, we draw back. But if any man draw back, God speaking in this profound way, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But then the apostles' words, under the influence of the Spirit, but we are not of them that who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And if you can rightly claim, by the grace of God, that you are not of them who draw back unto perdition, there's things that you must be clear on and you must be made to be comfortable with regarding your profession and mine. And if that is so, then truly you can acknowledge, but we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. If we can testify that, we can only testify it when the dear Spirit gives that exercise and life and the feeling of it, the assurance of it, the favour of true believing. This is so vital. The favour to truly believe. To believe, to have faith to believe. God-given faith, so that you can believe. To believe and enter into the blessed secrets and favours of the gospel. Oh, to believe to the saving of the soul. And I believe this with all my heart, friends. If we can say, if we truly, honestly testify from our hearts and vital experience, we are not of them that draw back, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul, there'll be no big I. There'll be no mighty I. There will be humility and love. A wonderful witness to God's glory of humility and love. What is wrought and brought about in the character God set his love upon, he makes them humble. He makes his people to be childlike. He makes his people small. He makes them to feel their nothing, to feel thy shame and nakedness. We had a sweet sermon preached to us in our cause on Tuesday, and it set my heart, my very soul on fire, so that with that sacred lines came, to feel thy shame and nakedness will make thee love that glorious dress that sets from condemnation free and from the curse delivers thee. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pont on Tuesday evening next week, not Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 1149. What think you of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. 1149.
else's favour, to be able to testify from a well, softened, broken heart, that thou art our Lord, our life, our all. O Lord, ever save us from any counterfeit confession. O make us right and keep us right, dear Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.